So you and your colleagues wrote a piece about the Green New Deal, calling its vision exciting and solid, and that the transition to a cleaner economy can be expected to bring jobs for all kinds of workers. Again, the Green New Deal calls for something called a federal jobs guarantee. What is that?
There's some differing interpretations of what that means, but at least in the resolution for the Green New Deal itself, really the production or really creation of family prevailing wages through jobs, right, in this transition to a clean economy. And so however many jobs that creates in the end is still, like, I think, open to debate. What sectors those jobs are in, what wages very precisely, what those mean over time, I think, is still up in the air. But I think the goal is to create opportunities, really, for all types of workers across all skill levels to gain on-the-job training pathways to long-term careers where they do have an opportunity to earn wages that kind of bring them out of this, I'd say at the moment for many workers who are struggling to find work at all or even part-time jobs, really providing that certainty.
In your piece, you describe an economy with many new kinds of jobs in it. So if the Green New Deal comes to pass, what kinds of jobs do you foresee?
I think there's this mentality, even going back to the stimulus package 10 years ago, following the Great Recession, of sort of job creation and coming out of this period of really job destruction. And to me, as we think of this transition to, well, a clean economy as envisioned in the Green New Deal, but really just a more opportunistic economy overall, it can't just be about jobs, right? It has to be about long-term career pathways, really workforce development. When we think of our infrastructure investments in particular, it's not just short-term construction projects, although those are certainly important. It's really long-term operation and maintenance, right? So when we think of our power plants, we think of our utility systems, when we think of even wind turbines and other sort of new technologies that are coming about here, it's going to take a lot of different workers, not just sort of short-term construction laborers, if you will. But we know that as we make this transition, there are going to be increased demands on not only our existing workforce, but actually recruiting and training and retaining a younger workforce too. So it's not going to just start and end within the next decade, for example.
I see. And so just to take it a little further, we're not just talking about people who can do solar installations. There's other types of jobs that you see coming.
Absolutely. So it's not just isolated opportunities in one or two or three markets right across the country, but really what are all types of regions doing to advance a transition to a cleaner economy? What types of employers, not just, I would argue, not just energy employers, but even in transportation and logistics and other sectors throughout the economy? I mean, there's really a variety of pathways, I think, in this space. And it's something that my colleagues and I are looking into of just not just sort of the macro trends, if you will, of, well, there are going to be X million jobs created over so many years, but actually, well, there are hundreds of occupations found throughout really this very diffuse idea of throughout the economy. And what is that going to require in terms of training, in terms of equipping workers with the skills that they're going to need to succeed and ultimately not only help their own careers, but help all of us transition to that cleaner economy?
Yeah, a number of things come to mind when you're bringing this up. As a reporter, you know, we are based out of Pittsburgh. We hear a lot from people in coal country who are, you know, there have been struggles in retraining workers in coal country for, you know, more future-looking jobs. And also you referenced the recession about 10 years ago. You know, I remember going to a manufacturing plant in Ohio. They're making wind turbines, and what the company head said was, we can't find people who can do these jobs. We go to high schools and try to recruit young people and say, hey, you don't need to go to college. You can do this and we'll pay for the training. And they still were having a hard time finding people doing this kind of heavy work, you know, heavy sort of manufacturing work.
Absolutely. No, it's not new. I mean, these are issues that have preceded even the introduction of the Green New Deal. But the Green New Deal in some ways has kind of shined more light, I think, on these career pathways and possibilities. And hopefully that greater visibility is leading to additional conversations, not just in Washington, on Capitol Hill, but also really throughout the country, as you're saying, really that what are the jobs at play here? Who are the workers who can fill these jobs? And really, what are going to be the policies that are going to help us get there?
And so do you think the Green New Deal actually has a chance to equalize the economy as it kind of, you know, it sounds like an idealistic goal, but it sounds like what you're saying is there may really be some opportunities for people who maybe wouldn't have had those without this kind of an ideological push behind it.
Sure. I mean, look, the Green New Deal, I think it has pried open this policy window where even just a few months ago, we weren't even really talking about some of these topics, right? So in effect, even if the Green New Deal doesn't really go anywhere in Washington, it has, I think, opened people's minds to some of these issues that really, you know, aren't new. And if anything, are only demanding more attention, not just nationally, but at a state and a local level, too. Whether it takes putting out those big ideas, right, to initiate some of these conversations, you know, all the better. But I think we need to, it would help, I think, to move beyond just sort of the politics of this, right, and really think of, okay, well, what are some of the ideas? What are some of the very tangible next steps that could be taken from sort of this vision and actually translated into feasible action?
And are we already seeing in some of those areas that are experiencing climate change the growth in these kinds of jobs, the jobs that we're going to need to deal with the effects of climate change?
I would look less at sort of job counts. That's often a very visible, sort of politically convenient way of thinking of some of these workforce issues of, well, we added X thousands of jobs in this market, thus it's sort of a victory. But actually what I would think of is, okay, well, we're having these climate pressures. We may have actually experienced some of these issues firsthand, are dealing with the costs right now. What is our workforce ecosystem that's currently in place? Do we have the talent in place right now who are going to be ready to take on some of these tasks in years to come? I know that we have seen some of this in New Orleans, right, which is kind of the sort of the go-to example of the need for investing in more resilient infrastructure post-Katrina in particular, where we are seeing many more local collaborations and investments, not just in the physical infrastructure, but also in the talent that's going to be overseeing and ultimately powering that infrastructure for years to come. And so that to me is going to spell, I think, a longer term a mark of success than sort of just the total number of jobs created here. And I would say also just from a research perspective, it's hard to even calculate at times the total number of jobs created. There have been many studies that have come out that are terrific, but I think they feed, unfortunately, into this continued sort of political cycle of, well, are we getting the best bang for our buck, right, of how many jobs we're creating versus actually equipping workers with the skills they need and actually supporting those workforce development systems that are going to be really essential here.
Okay. Well, thanks, Joe.
Thanks, Julie.